Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
I might have to wear this every segment now. I'm telling you, man.
Oh, man. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Adetula here with you. And
Bring back memories.
Right before the mics cut on here in the studio, Lopez goes, got to strap him up.
Got to buckle up.
Got to buckle up. He is indeed wearing a leather helmet from the year, I imagine, 1927.
Something like that.
As he is continuing to pay off his
I'm kind of liking it, man.
A&M Notre Dame. Yeah, see, this is the thing. This is not necessarily punishment. You're enjoying this way.
This part I am. That one was rough, but I'll wear it again for the last segment with the boys in the afternoon. But yeah, I'm like, hey, we're getting ready to come back on. Buckle up, boys. Let's go.
Buckle up. Let's go. Also, another buckle up situation. Hey, buckle up, Texans, because Derek Stingley got him the Mulligetta train, and he's also been equipped with more, you know, more leaves, more kind of data points that have fallen out when it comes to compensation for top-tier cornerbacks in this league. As this morning, we learned that the Denver Broncos and that Walton money going around. That's right. Thank you for that sound effect, Fig. Patrick Surtain, cornerback for the Denver Broncos, got paid record deal, 4-year, $96 million. Yep. I appreciate it. It really did deserve a second one. $24 million average annual value is good for, by far, the most when it comes to cornerbacks. And that's by, what, $3 million over Jair Alexander's $21 million a year. However, which I think he signed in 2022. However, I think the interesting part about this here, for me, I try and look more at percentage of cap now because I think these numbers have gotten so big that, like, the average person who is not making millions of dollars sees $96 million and we all go, ooga, like a cartoon fox or whatever, and we lose all sense of, like, scale. And so, like, the percentage of the cap, I think, also gives us a little bit more insight into, like, what, how much a team is actually allocating of their budget to a player. And that number is actually tracking backwards a little bit. So Patrick Surtain comes in at fifth when it comes to percentage of percentage of the cap, rather, for a cornerback contract. Funny enough, it's all kind of tracking backwards a little bit. 10.7% is the highest with Marshawn Lattimore, which was signed in 21. Jair Alexander, previously aforementioned, just about 10%. That's second. Marlon Humphrey, who signed his deal in 2020. Like, Denzel Ward signed his deal in 2022. So, like, it's not, it's still high. Don't get me wrong. Like,
9.4%.
Yes, but it's not like quarterbacks that seems to just be like a full upward trend exponentially. But again, another big money deal, at least when it comes to the average annual value, and knowing you're going to have to shell out damn near 9 to 10% of your
Well, cap. And David Mulligetta, I promise you, either called or texted Derek Stingley and said, that's the floor. That's the floor.
Did he even use that many words? He might have sent two emojis. Money bag, money bag.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the floor for Derek Stingley. If he does what he does, that is, what we think he's going to do.
If he have an all-pro year.
That's the floor. 96. And the guarantee, of course, is monstrous as well. The guarantee being $77 million for Derek Stingley.
And so basically you're guaranteeing the first three,
yeah.
Which seems to be kind of standard.
Guarantees are getting bigger, though.
Yeah.
Guarantees are getting bigger. But no, not only is that the floor, I think it also, and you've heard me say this, and I know we're going to talk about this a lot as we move forward here.
Sean just walking by the studio with a big bleep eating grin on his face every time he sees.
Buckle up, Sean. I'm liking this, man. Hey,
he gonna come in with some football pants in a minute.
I'm kind of getting back to 1979, man. I'm getting kind of.
We should have made them get some football pants with it too.
I want to get in a stance. I want to get in a stance. I want to hit somebody.
Do it during the break.
Not the pants. The pads are really where it is.
I want to hit someone.
And not just the new pads, but they really form-fitting, like the 1980s pads.
Oh, big shoulder. Well, you can see them in that picture that I tweeted. Big old giant shoulder pads.
Looking like Robert Brazil.
Yes.
And I had a neck roll. Did you notice the neck roll?
You
had to notice the neck roll on that. It's on my Twitter.
It is kind of sad that we don't necessarily have dudes out here with the neck roll.
You felt like
really,
such a badass.
Yeah. The butterfly collar is the one for me.
You know, the big one on the back.
Yeah, the butterfly collar.
That was after my time. That was after my time. But back to what we're saying. I've said this before. You're going to hear this a lot. This is what good teams can do. Not just this contract. I'm talking about make that type of contract work with a quarterback on a big contract.
Sure.
And that's where we're going here in Houston.
Yeah. Another instance where you know for certain that there's going to come a time where you have to pay these dudes very well. It's the good problem to have, but a problem nonetheless that you have these many good dudes, which is great. You're going to have to find a way to make all those salaries work. And you're starting to get a figure or a feeling on what that figure might look like.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to be less than 24 mil as extension eligibility for Stingley comes up in 25.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only Stingley. See, that's the thing. When you draft good, they all come due.
Yeah. Because you got Stingley. You got CJ, obviously. You got Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah.
You got a lot of folks, man. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I know Tank Dell going to get there.
Yeah.
If he keep doing what he doing.
I don't want to do this today, but at some point, maybe after the season, who's going to be their Tyreek Hill? Who's going to be the one where, you know what? Gotta let you go, brother. We love you. But we got other fish to fry, and they have to make that decision as well.
Man, people love this. The leather helmet in particular. Can we just make this a football Friday staple? Fridays?
I want to wear. I really want to get on a sled.
No, you don't.
I want to
get
a sled, man.
See, now that's the poison. That's the leather poison that's getting to your brain. Is now you're starting to think you actually want to do football activity. Hey, man, professional football players don't want to do the football activity. That's why they be holding down the training camp and stuff, because they want to get to the regular season.
Just once. I'll just hit it once.
You got to save this helmet for next year.
For old time's sake.
Save it for next year and go to training camp with that on.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's a bet.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's a hell of a bet.
That's my payback to Sean. He's got to go to training camp with his helmet on.
You've been getting all sorts of looks this morning. It's been great.
Oh, it's great.
Speaking of contract details, we mentioned yesterday that Trent Williams ended up ending his holdout when it came to the San Francisco 49ers, but we didn't get details. We got details now. $48 million fully guaranteed. He'll get $26 million signing bonus, moving him to $103 million in guarantees. So he's on track to earn over. Get this, and again, ready yourself for the Awuga moment.
Yeah.
$250 million in his career.
I mean,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
That's good work if you can get it, first
you
of
know.
All. First of all. Secondly, did this contract extension, this contract itself make you go, wow? Like I thought like this is first world problems. But I thought that was about in line, if not maybe on the good side for the team.
And he even went as far as to say, and I do wonder if like this played into the money or whatever. Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, seeing the Ricky Pearsall that you know injury, it's weird to call it an injury incident where he was shot in an attempted robbery, kind of like jarred him into like I guess a feeling of he needed to just be there with his team.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder if some of that helped him, got him to a place where he's like, it's fine, I don't need to get nearly as much.
Yes.
I don't want to speak for him in that way. I know that I heard him specifically mention that part, but I don't know that it fully extends all to those places. But that left tackle who really makes that offense go, if we're going to be completely honest, is back in tow. So the Niners, again, looking like they got everything together at the right time. Now, we didn't mention this yesterday, but we probably should have, because we were coming off of the Labor Day weekend. We're still close enough. Robert Florio of Pro Football Talk is throwing up this idea. I wouldn't consider it reporting, because he did not put it in those hard terms. But he is kind of floating it in such a way that it feels like he's hearing whispers and rumors, but not in a way that is actionable.
Yeah.
But apparently the NFL is starting to look at the possibility of starting the season on Labor Day weekend, which would kind of make sense, especially if they do the thing that we're all kind of anticipating, which is adding another game.
Yes.
Removing that that third preseason game and turning that into a real life bona fide regular season game and starting on Labor Day weekend, where that's typically been a space where for your last forays into your summer activities before you get locked down into the fall activity of watching particularly NFL football. Do you like the idea of the NFL season starting Labor Day week?
I don't like it, but let me before I say that, you know, elaborate on that. The NFL, first of all, Mike Florio, if he's hearing whispers and not hard reporting, someone at the NFL is legitimately talking about this. Like this is, you know how the game works. Like a lot of times we'll have an opinion and it sounds like an opinion, but it's really someone has told us something that's not necessarily like you can go with this.
And so you're just kind of soft playing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think Florio knows that the NFL is talking about this, but can't necessarily just report it. So this is definitely, in my view, happening. Like this is something that at least the attempt is happening.
And the 18 games is the one that was going to happen.
Exactly what I was going to say next. And the reason it's happening and the reason he's hearing this is because they've already reported, much less rumor, that the 18-game schedule is being talked about by owners.
This is one of the worst-kept secrets. Like, Roger Goodell is on wax about the idea of the 18th game.
Yeah.
Unless the NFL Players Association finds a level of want-to that they have not had for a very long time, and we can discuss the reasons why and whether they should or whether they shouldn't or whatever, they're going to get rolled on that one.
Yes.
That's what the owners want first and foremost, and I haven't seen the NFLPA find enough labor capital to be able to, in negotiations, be like, no, what the owners want first and foremost is not getting done.
NFLPA is going to buckle because they're going to say, okay, 2 preseason games or 1 preseason game, and they're going to say, cool. So it's not going to cost, they're not going to get a whole lot more money. So it's going to happen. This is going to happen. All that said, I don't like it. I mean, that's just me as a football fan. Let them have at least 1 weekend, man. It's your It's your minor league.
What, you mean college football?
College football is your minor league.
You better get to week zero, y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, let them have one weekend. Just one. Because how awesome was this past weekend?
It was very
fun.
It
was great.
Right?
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And Roger Goodell is like, nah.
And the other part of this report, rumor, whatever you want to call it, is they're already, not only has he heard, he's heard they're going to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
It's too much.
Of Labor Day weekend. No, it's not too much.
It's too much.
They'll get away with it, and they'll make millions of dollars, and everybody will watch.
They'll do it, and we'll watch, because we also are the NFLPA. We do not have standards and morals and all those things. We're like, football on, well, let's watch that football.
Yeah.
But it is too much. Like, I don't know if you are starting to get this feeling, and yes, I am boo-hooing about watching sports. You can come for me. It's cool. 713-572-4610. I give you my blessing. But... A-Dog, like, one of the nice things about football season is there's a nice ebb and flow, and you have, but it feels like every day there's football on, and like the Tuesday and the Sunday and the Monday, and even that felt
doesn't
like
all right,
a nice fit. If you're adding extra days, I remember
doesn't
when
matter.
We had that schedule in COVID where you have makeup games and Tuesdays and everything, and you're just like, man.
And we watched.
We did, but it's a lot. It's a lot of days.
Yeah. No, it
I think of it like, you know, you're a church going man.
Yes, sir.
The idea of, you know, there are some places, some people that go to church on a Sunday, and that's it. And there's some people that go to church on Sunday, and then they have a second service on Sunday, and then there's a Bible study on Tuesday, and then there's small groups on Thursday.
Back in my St. Anne's
and then there's
days.
Evangelism on Saturday, and you're just like, hey man, I'm a church a lot.
Yeah,
we're at the church of football a lot right now.
Okay, so get a dollar ready, even though I'm doing it. Mark Cuban has talked about
again, not me. I didn't do that.
Mark Cuban has talked about the NFL being greedy, and says hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna get slaughtered.
Not yet. We haven't found the boundary yet, and that's the amazing thing.
Yeah, they're going to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of Labor Day weekend. We're going to gorge like the hogs we are, and they're going to make a ton of money, and the college football is going to suffer because of it, at least a little bit, and the NFL is going to get away with it. They just will.
Okay, I was about to use a segue that did not make any sense. So I'm just going to not. The Mannings, Peyton and Eli. A couple of dudes that I've actually come to like a lot more than I thought I would, especially Eli Manning. I thought I wouldn't like him, and I like him more than Peyton Manning. Both of them fairly charismatic. They tried to put that charisma to use here. Obviously, the Manning cast is a big-time deal that a lot of people are enjoying. And they Omaha Productions, obviously the production company that they own, and ESPN really tried to put together a big-time celebration of the Manning cast. Yeah. They did a 10-minute video. where they kind of did like a faux Broadway musical or whatever.
It's a short film.
Featuring a lot of people. I mean, they had Snoop, they had Jimmy Kimmel, they had Andy Reid, they had Jason Kelsey, they had Kevin Hart, and let me tell you, a lot more of people cameo in this thing just to announce the Manning cast schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
You're like, yes, actually, it's very easy
to
believe
that. Yes, I can. It's the Mannings. I'm with you. I've always liked the Mannings, even back when Peyton was with the Colts.
Eli didn't like that.
I always felt
him
dirty.
And that dumb face.
I always felt dirty, and I always got criticized because, obviously, I'm a Texans fan, but I just loved Peyton Manning. I love Peyton Manning more now. You're right on Eli. Yes, I can believe it. They're good at what they do, and people are going to absorb this, indulge, take it all in, et cetera. By the way, is it 10 games? I think it's three.
I believe it's 11.
Yeah, it's 11, including the wild card game. But the Texans, week 11, November 18th, at the Cowboys, is going to be a Manning cast.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. That should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Are you a person who watches the Manning cast
as
opposed to the primary broadcast?
I tend to flip.
Okay.
But I also tend to, depending on the guest, depending on how funny they are at that moment.
They did make a joke about how sometimes the guests take them away from the football.
I'll stay with it longer. I don't watch it exclusively during Monday Night Football, but I always go to it.
I'll be interested to see if maybe you'd like it. Bill Belichick will be featured in every single one of these games. So that means I'm really excited to see what kind of insight he brings to the broadcast in addition to those guys. I think that'll be really fun. But yeah, that was another thing that was in the announcement. I wouldn't say that you have to go watch the 10-minute video. They managed to make it fun. So shout out to the Mannings and Manning cast that the Texans will take part of week 11. There you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's jump into this. Stephon Diggs was actually featured in GQ. We know he likes to get his model on, but there were some interesting insights into his psyche, which I know that has been kind of a lot of talk. and why Lopez thinks he might be the safest acquisition that Casario has made. Let's talk about all that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's how we chill from 93.2 right here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Mariachi Marvin Gaye himself,
Figgy Fig,
and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. I'm going to find a way to make that a like, it's not going to be your primary nickname, clearly.
Yeah.
But that's going to stick.
Yeah.
If I have my druthers, it will stick.
If you've ever heard, I think Figgy might have heard me singing mariachis once.
I did.
Yeah, yep. At my daughter's wedding.
I think I actually might have a video of that.
No, I crushed my
I think I recorded
I love a wedding with
that.
The mariachi.
With every, all three of my kids, we had them.
Wedding that I went to, was it the 24th? Mariachis, man.
The best.
Fantastic vibe.
The best.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tragos Amargos is my go-to song.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
I will become familiar, though.
You'll love it.
Love it. Taqueria Sarandas.
See, he can't.
That's even, my second favorite. I That's bet my you second favorite say, mariachi.
He can't say Tragos Amargos. I bet you he can't say it.
Hey, you can't say this.
Taqueria Sarandas.
Or at least not in Spanish.
Oh, that's hilarious. Appreciate you guys getting involved. You can always do that by texting in. The text line 713-572-4610. Catch us on Twitch. Catch us on YouTube where Anthony Shaver says, listening to 610, stuck on 610. A little bit of rain.
Got him, baby.
Yeah, I'm getting sick of my phone. Let me know. Hey, raining today in Houston. I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. I get it. Like, it's been happening for a week.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it. Like, temperatures are all right.
Well, that's true.
The temperatures are cool.
That's true.
But yeah, just stop. Stop mm-hmm. telling me that. But if we're talking about vibes being good, Stephon Diggs is one of those guys who I think a lot of people talk about when it comes to this Texans team. Big time acquisition, came over from the Bills this offseason, and he was featured in GQ. Now, it seems like the interview happened in June, mm-hmm. or sorry, maybe July rather, as he was, you know, getting himself fly, doing those types of fashion things that he is want to do. But GQ put out this piece, and I found it to be deeply interesting.
I loved
into the psyche of Stephon Diggs, a place that I think we've all had seen some level of like consternation over his time. And I mean, obviously he's very much very aware of the way that he's talked about. But you know, he seems to have a very strong sense of self.
What he has perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Is that maybe that's the word that I need to use as opposed to the phrase?
Well, just when you read it, you sent it to me last night and I hadn't seen it yet. So I immediately read it and I think I texted you back. I'm like, I love the good, you know, we used to call them takeouts, you know, those feature type stories that are just, you can take it out. That's where the name comes from.
You went Spanish on me.
And read it at any point and you learn about that person. And I thought the perspective he had about what people are saying, what Twitter and social media does and the reputation and what was really going on behind the scenes. He didn't mind all these things happening because he says, I knew, you know, that they wanted me. I wanted out because the vibe was so bad. And you've got some of the excerpts, which might share a little bit more about that. But the perspective he had was really enlightening because he is a personality that can that wears his personality on his sleeve.
Yes.
You know,
I'm realizing that I didn't grab that excerpt in specific, mm-hmm. and I will get it for you. But one of the ones that I found to be interesting, there's three of them that I pulled out that were very interesting to me. First of all, which I'll read. We'll do a little segment that I like to call reading. entering his 10th season in the NFL, Diggs has designs on where he'd like to be next. His first catch for the Texans will likely put him over 1,000 career yards. He's currently 5 short. And he's done the math to know that he needs about 4,000 more to move into Hall of Fame territory. Quote, I pay real close attention, he says. This bleep is not a game to me. Close quote.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be entrancing, right? These are the types of things that I think fans love hearing. The drive is evident in the idea that, one, that man is all over his own stats, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that can maybe appear selfish in some ways, but the idea that I'm here to produce, and not only to produce at a certain level, right, to cross some individual barrier, but to be one of the best. And when we talk about Hall of Fame area and territory, and he knows that, and he said, I pay closer attention. This is not a game to me. Like, this is, and obviously the implication, this is a level of work. This is meaningful to me. I thought that was good. Not necessarily that anybody was doubting his work ethic, but if somebody was, it's very evident that he is driven in that way.
Yes, and also I think the second part of that is you may think I'm a diva, you may think I'm over the top or a problem for my quarterbacks, and that's what I got out of it. This isn't peewee ball. You know, everybody gets a juice box. This is not a game to me. You know, that's what I got out of it. Like if you see me talking to my quarterback, and they jump to conclusions erroneously with C.J. Stroud during the preseason, but even if you go back to Minnesota and you go back to Buffalo, what he's saying there is, yeah, I have very frank discussions with my quarterback because it's not a game to me. This matters, and I think that's one of those things that led me to believe, like, well, from the very start, people like, is Stephon Diggs going to be the number one? You remember this? I'm like, come on, man. He's the number one. Come on. Like cool for Nico Collins. Awesome. Hope he gets his 1,000+. Awesome for Tank Dell. Hope he leads the team in touchdowns. Stephon Diggs is the man on this receiving corps. There is no doubt about it.
For sure. And, you know, I also appreciated this excerpt, this quote here. And, again, we go to my segment of reading. During his second season while still in Minnesota, he made an on-field fashion statement by wearing practice shorts so short that his mom started calling him John Stock. One of his teammates called them unreasonable, while his defensive coaches called them Betty Boops. Diggs clapped back, quote, make sure your favorite DB don't get done in these Betty Boops, close quote. He remembers telling them, apparently the trash talking hasn't slowed with age. Quote, he's got energy. He's not afraid to get everyone going and back on track when things are going wrong. And when things are going well, he's not afraid to let you know, says Bobby Slowick, laughing on what he's noticed from his new text.
It's what I want. Like, it is. I mean, you can talk about all the humility and all this other stuff. There are going to be alphas on every team that is successful. He's an alpha, and that's what they do. And that's what he does, and I don't mind it. And I fully expect a big, big season, probably bigger than most people that are listening to us right now. I expect a huge season from him.
Yeah, the Slowick part of that was the one that jumped out to me, idea of he's not afraid to get everybody going and back on track when things aren't going wrong. Yeah. Already, it seems like he is in some ways the vision that I have is like kind of a herding dog where sometimes, you know, the flock of, I guess in this instance, it'd be maybe sheep.
Yeah.
They're going where they're going. He's like, no, back on the path. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think that
or else I'll nip your heels.
Right, exactly. And in some ways, like the caricature that we've seen of Stephon Diggs built is one that could possibly be somebody that takes a team off track. And that immediate, characterization by Bobby Slowick is the complete opposite. Like, no, he's getting guys on track. Now, you said that you think he's going to be, have a bigger season than I think people are giving him credit for. You always honestly have a perspective that I found to be very interesting, and I want to get more insight into it because you are of the opinion that Stephon Diggs might be the safest acquisition that Caserio makes. And people have talked about this as being a little bit dicey. In fact, Caserio went as far as, like, acknowledging that they cut down the years on this deal in part because, you know, they went and they had conversations and they now I'm kind of inferring from what he said, but it seemed like they had maybe not concerns, but they had to be very careful.
They were cautious.
Cautious is the right word. They want to be cautious about the way they handled this.
And that's why, because he did that, I think I'm not trying to be, you know, a martyr here and a PR person for Stephon Diggs. You know, I barely said hello to the man, but all I'm saying is I think he is the safest acquisition that Nick Caserio has ever done. And let me explain that. He's making almost $22 million this year for 1 year. That 1 year is what matters and makes it one of the safest picks. It's just this year. Now, we know that part already, but let me elaborate on a couple of other things here and why it's so safe. He's still an absolute stud. Like, he is, like, over the last six seasons. This might be a stat that a lot of people have never really paid attention to. Over the last six seasons, Diggs has averaged more than 1,250 yards and 8 touchdowns a year. Okay, so you're thinking, cool, but he kind of took a step back last year. No, I don't think he did. I think they started running the ball more. He actually referenced some of that. I can still bleep and play, I think is what he said, or something along those lines. But that's neither here nor there. He's also of the top 10 receivers. Oh, well, what about the step back and all that? Devontae Adams, Devontae Smith, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, and Diggs all four of those guys are the same age or older than Diggs. Is anybody talking about Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill taking a step back?
No.
Anybody talking about Devontae Adams and Devontae Smith taking a step back?
Devontae Adams, but because of his quarterback more than anything
right,
else.
But not his skill set. Like, he's still a fantasy football guy, if you want to base it on that. They're as old or older than Diggs, and Diggs is on a one-year contract. That is a safe move. And then the guys that are paid more than him, Michael Pittman Jr., Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley. Comparing them, would you take Stephon Diggs?
No, and probably not.
Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins?
No.
DJ Moore?
Probably not.
Those guys all make more money than Stephon Diggs, and they're on longer-term contracts. They're on big guarantee contracts. I'm telling you, when you look at this carefully, this is a brilliant move to get that contract done like that for 1 year. He's four of the guys in the top 10 are as old or older than him, and four of the guys on the top 10, five of the guys in the top 10, you would take Diggs over.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's an absolute no-brainer.
So Diggs talked about, you know, and this is what really has been the pull quote from this entire GQ article, was his exit in Buffalo. And it talked about how, you know, Diggs, basically, from his perspective, he thought that when he moved on from Minnesota, when he moved on from Buffalo, people saw it as those teams getting rid of him. And for him, it was more that he was the one moving on and ready to move on to a new situation. To get specific on that, he talked about the last season in Buffalo, and he didn't really talk specifically about it in the first time that the profilist talked to him about it. They circled back around at a later point, and that got us to this. Last season, Diggs started off the season in Buffalo hot, with more than 100 receiving yards in five of his first six games, but he didn't go over 100 yards, and he only notched two scores for the rest of the season. If it didn't look like Diggs was having fun, that's because, well, he wasn't. Quote, last year I was in the worst mental space I've been in since I've been in the league, Diggs says. If I'm not in a good space, obviously that's not the best for me, so that's when things start to shake out. And he also went as far as, like, pointing out, hey, my production went down with a coordinator change and a different way of playing, and they very much started using him as a decoy as opposed to a focus in the offense, and that shifted the production.
And the other key part of that is kind of what I mentioned earlier. According to him, the Bills wanted to keep him. He wanted out.
Yeah.
You know, and okay, you can say, well, maybe he's being petty or whatever. No, look, he thought that it had run its course there, and maybe they couldn't win. They were slashing salary cap all around him and salaries. And he was ready to move on. So no, I think absolutely, like, this is going to be an enormous year for Stephon Diggs, and what a great safe contract.
I'm with it. And finally, I want to leave you with this quote that's definitely going to sit in my pocket when talking about, you know, his antenna being tuned to the chatter, but he's not going to talk about it. And he said, quote, "What am I going to do about it? Am I going to fight the world?
Yeah.
You ain't beating Twitter, and you ain't beating the internet." And I love that, right?
That's the perspective.
100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I find this to be a very interesting piece now on Stephon Diggs and what you've got coming in. It will be interesting because I think that this comes in from the 832. What are you saying? Sounds like if Diggs feels like he's not getting enough targets in his contract, you start complaining. Well, it's a 1 year situation, right? I think with that being the case, and secondly, I have a strong feeling that he will get that attention. He was made a captain, and I do wonder again if that's some of the responsibility and putting him in that place where, hey, we need you to step up and be a big part of what's happening here. So it'll be something to definitely watch. And I know that you can have that level of kind of skepticism. I think it's fair and it's understandable, but there's a lot of ways in which the production, I think, will still show up for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur on the YouTube says, what the F is Lopez wearing this helmet for? He lost a bet and he's paying up. That's what's popping when it comes to the helmet. We'll talk about what's popping when it comes to sports and other things next right here in the Loop.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's get to what's popping. John Lopez, not wearing his helmet yet. Hold on. Get the helmet on. We can't start the segment without the helmet.
Hold on a minute, player. You got to put that helmet on.
Yeah, man.
Forgot it, man. Okay, we're back. Let's strap it up.
All right,
baby.
Lopez is strapped in, ready to thud up, as they say. Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atatula. Let's talk about what's popping. Apparently, Will Anderson back at practice. That's a good thing because we've been looking forward to that, right? Trying to see if he was going to be ready to go for week one, because that's super, super important. If Will Anderson is on the field, or whether or not Will Anderson is on the field, matters a good amount, particularly in a game like this.
Big time. And him practicing, this is one we kind of figured, right?
Yeah, but you can't be too careful, right?
Because not until it happens.
Exactly. That's one of those things that until it happens. You gotta have a level of mm-hmm. a level of looking at that space.
No, and we're still as far as everybody else, it seems like everybody else is practicing. By the way, today is the first, today and tomorrow are the most important practices. So Will Anderson being on the field today and tomorrow is going to be huge. So he'll play. No Christian Harris, of course, but right. we can work around that, hopefully. Big week for Henry To'o.
Yes, yeah. Yes. He will definitely factor in a big time later on in the show, because I went and rewatched week 2 and week 18.
Yep.
Of last year.
In your thoughts.
Clearly, those were both times that the Texans yeah. played the Colts. And so, yeah, I will give my thoughts, and hopefully we can kind of revisit what happened in those games and what matters, or like what will factor into this game and the rest of the season for your Texans. But yeah, Will Anderson is practicing. Yeah. Good, big thumbs up when it comes to your Texans ahead of week one versus Indy. What other things are popping? I guess this was announced, was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Astros getting some awards for the month of August.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Arrighetti was named the AL Rookie of the Month. He had a fantastic month when it comes down to a 1.94 ERA. Opponents' batting averages was 168, sub 200. That's nice to see. 47 strikeouts in 5 starts in the month of August.
That's a huge number, man. That's a huge number in 5 starts.
Like, he is one yeah. of those guys. And yeah. I mean, I know we asked Spo about it. Payne and Pendergast talked about it earlier today, the idea of the playoff rotation as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you have guys like Fromber and Hunter Brown, although those guys, particularly Hunter Brown, is, you know, pushing some of the limits of mm-hmm. you know, the load that he has had in his, you know, season. But they've pitched so well. Makes sense. They're in the rotation. Arrighetti is one of those guys that you start talking about next, right?
I think he is. I mean, you want Arrighetti, you want Justin Verlander to start.
Well, right now, the way that they're pitching Arrighetti, right? Like, you say, I'm trying to make sure I get the emphasis right.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the dude that
is
pushing
that man's
name.
Well, we need to hear it the right way.
You say Kikuchi. I love Kikuchi!
Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Always and forever, as long as he's under contract.
Where does Verlander fit in a postseason rotation?
It's a great question, right? Like, I do wonder, is he going to end up as possibly out of the pen? And I was meaning to look at it, but Baseball Reference wanted to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And now let me see his game logs, but I do need to go and find out, has Verlander come out of the pen in the postseason?
I'd seriously doubt it. Maybe here and there in a, you know, kind of a must win type thing. A true must win, by the way. He has, but no, he was a stud from the moment he got into the big league. So I seriously doubt it. But at this point, Arrighetti and Kikuchi are just better. They're just better than Verlander. Now, the counterpoint would be, well, this is Justin Verlander.
That's right.
You know, he's a warrior, and he's a postseason guy. Well, he's not. I mean, he has been lately, but he always had his, you know, his ups and downs in the postseason. And, you know, at some point it comes down to your performance on the field. And he hasn't been there. Now, maybe I thought Adam Spillane, you know, laid it out perfectly right.
Astros insider.
Yeah, Astros insider Adam Spillane, which, by the way, you're going to hear about that in Confessions. But I really feel like Adam Spillane laid it out great. He's Verlander. He's going to get his mechanics worked out.
Yeah.
He's going to figure it out. He's a scientist of pitching, so to speak. So maybe this is all going to be moot. But right now, if you start in a postseason game tomorrow, you're like, I don't know.
Right, and thankfully you don't have to start the postseason tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you did start it tomorrow, you'd be facing off against the Kansas City Royals in a wild card series.
Good.
And you handled them up, although they have been a good team, so we'll see how that ultimately shakes out. I do want to also mention, I don't want to leave this guy out, as he won August awards as well. Josh Hader,
mm-hmm.
reliever of the month for the AL. 3-1 in that month, 8 saves, 0.68 ERA, 0.68 ERA. 13 appearances. So
overwhelming.
Yes.
But we all have, we all know a ton of people that are just enormous monster Astros fans. Over the weekend, I was talking to this couple that we know that is a huge, huge, I mean, enormous Astros fans. And they just hate Hader. They just they just don't trust him.
Really?
They're like, I can't, you know.
Like as a player?
No, but as a player, yeah. Okay. Just not as a guy.
I was like, because I know that he had the text or the tweet thing back in the day when he was with the Brewers. And I was like, all right, if you maybe dislike him for that, like, see.
No,
see
it's just whatever. Like, I don't know if people trust Hader. As much as those numbers are overwhelmingly good, like people, there's some about him. Like he's spit up enough big leads and saved opportunities.
You sure they weren't talking about Ryan Stressly?
It was Josh Hader.
Not Stressly.
Josh Hader. Right. Presley's a given at this point, right?
Yeah, it's Ryan Stressly.
Yeah. Interested how most of our listeners, 713-572-4610. I know a bunch of people that are like, I don't know.
Yeah, let us know. Quick poll on the text line. Are you in or out on Hader?
Yeah.
Just in or out. That's all you need to text in. From the 281, they mentioned that Verlander came out the pen in game 4, 2017 ALDS versus the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. But he also did start game 1. All right, I'll take your word for it, seeing as the usually very useful and dependable baseball reference is facing my ire right now because they don't want to help me out. Help a brother out. If you could, please. Mattress Mac out the hospital.
Thankfully. Oh, okay.
We found out that he was dealing with a bout of cellulitis, and no, it's not that thing that you'd be seeing on the posteriors of women sometimes. Apparently it is
like cottage cheese on the thigh.
Yeah, we're not dealing with that. That is not what put our man in the hospital. Apparently, like, that is that is an infection that, if not treated well, could be like deadly. But yeah, he said that he was like, the infection caused him to speak gibberish and vomit. As we got more insight into what happened there, but
he was selling those mattresses, though.
Yeah,
he was making sure to sell those mattresses, but yeah, thankfully he was able to get out of the hospital, feeling better, and those types of things. So, just wanted to give an update since you did mention you know that he was in the hospital, so he is out of the hospital now. I did want to get to this as apparently the White Sox on their way to loss number 109 on the season. I do love this. This was Kevin Brown on the Orioles broadcast, the TV broadcast, correct? And I think that he might have encapsulated the White Sox season quite perfectly, with a play that looked like a Three Stooges type event.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out...
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Full White Sox. Like, you never want to have your nickname become a verb that means terrible.
Yeah.
And yet, and still, that's where they are. 109 losses.
They White Sox did.
Yeah.
They White Sox did.
Yeah, nah, it's not a good feeling. Oh. And I know this because whenever you see a bad football team, people say, oh, man, at least we ain't the Browns.
But yeah.
Oh, man, they looking like the Browns.
Yeah.
And in that same game, Grady Sizemore, who's the interim manager, also got ejected because balls and strikes were very bad, although he was right in that regard, but they were down 9-0 at that point.
I was just going to say, I don't care if you're right or wrong, what are you doing getting thrown out of a 9-0 game for the White Sox?
That's for his boys. That's for the boys in
the thing that caught my attention on that video was the umpire stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
The umpire eventually stepped up like, who are you talking to?
Right. Well, he knew he was doing a bad job. He had to defend his honor.
Yeah,
you don't step out here and talk about me.
You usually don't see, umpires. They kind of just stay back a little bit, but he got in his face at one point. I'm like, damn, okay.
So, yeah, that's, White Sox doing White Sox things. 109 losses after last night. They're well on their way to having the second worst record of all time.
They'll go 125, right?
I think that they could.
Yeah.
Like, they're on a pretty crash course pace at this point. I think at the same time, 102 losses is what we were looking at for the White Sox. Or, sorry, not for the White Sox. But, yeah, no, it's bad. There's even a whole, like, article of just the sad stats that I think they have the three longest losing streaks in this season by themselves.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah. And I think what was 120 was 1962, 130 something.
Yeah, 134 was all time.
Well, they're not
going to
get there.
Back when your helmet was made.
this is true.
And our impromptu poll has given us something here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and a possible with a cautiously in on Josh Hader. And then only, I think, 3 outs when it comes to trusting Hader.
Yeah.
And then 832, I need you to interpret this. I'm sorry, I trust Hader like I did Brian Brandon Lyons. I'm guessing that's an out.
Yeah. So I think that's a no.
Four outs there. Yeah, it's not as overwhelming as maybe you might imagine, but you know, there's a little bit of caution when it comes to Hader coming out of the pen, handling the highest leverage situations for your Astros. But there you go. That's some of what's popping. Also, Cam Ward is now leading the Heisman odds, if that's something that you're interested in. It makes sense.
He was balling. Yeah.
For Miami versus Florida this weekend in college football. Coming up next, I told you that I rewatched week 2 and week 18 for Indy.
Mm-hmm.
How much from last year's games against Indianapolis will be relevant this season? Let's talk about that and more next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.